So this workshop title is Staging the Scene for Surrender, Suit Up and Grow Up. When I first saw the list of the topics, I knew that this was a topic I wanted to speak on because I have had to learn to grow up, and I've grown up in Overeaters Anonymous. When the topic of surrender came up, I don't know if you've had this experience before, but as soon as I knew I had to speak on surrender, all of a sudden, so many issues came into my life that I needed to surrender. I was doing fine the week before I had agreed to speak, and then all of a sudden, I had all these issues. And I had to just get back to basics. I thought, I'm going to be a mess. I'm not going to be able to speak because my life is totally out of control. And so what I did is I got back to basics. I sat down and said, okay, what do I do? I need to surrender. And I thought, this is perfect. This is just reminding me that no matter where you are in program, surrender is always an issue. When I gave up trying to handle my food, I knew that I needed to surrender. And when I gave up trying to be in charge and control of my life and allowed God in, I knew that it was surrender. I liken surrender to kind of like the spherical cone. If you can imagine a cone with a wide base, kind of like the way that many of us were when we came into program, the wide base. A spherical cone that as I continued to progress in my program, I would learn something and I would think I had it and I'd kind of swing out and I'd have to bring myself back in and surrender a little bit more. And I'd have to work my program a little bit better and I'd get out there again and on the cone and I'd have to come back in again. And it was always surrender that would bring me back to my center. And in my center is where God is. When I came into program originally, it was 1984. I was in North Hollywood, California. I came in with at least 50 pounds that I wanted to lose. It wasn't an enormous amount of weight, but it was what was in my head. My head was so full of body image, low self-esteem. It held me back in life. I wasn't able to accomplish many of the things that I had set out to do for myself, all because of my weight. I got abstinent, got a sponsor, worked the program. Before I knew it, miracles were happening in my life. I did somewhat of a geographical. I was given an opportunity to move from North Hollywood to Lake Tahoe, which is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful place. I moved there. Got a wonderful job opportunity, worked there for a couple of years, met my husband, married, had children, got busy with life. And I was very involved in program and did service. It was fabulous. I lived and breathed this program. I had more knowledge of the 12 steps than, anybody could imagine. But life got busy. And with my kids, I got busy, and it wasn't always opportunistic to take them to a meeting, and so I began to slip away a little bit. And then came a move for us. My husband was transferred. We moved back down to Southern California, and slowly but surely, program slipped away. It's lost its importance, and I kept thinking, well, I won't make a meeting today, but, I have program. I have it. I know it all. And not that I know it all, but I have all the information. And, so if I don't get to a meeting, I can certainly practice my program. But you know what happens is that slowly over a period of time, the food starts coming back in. I think, oh, I can have a little of this. It won't matter. And, nothing happens for a while. But one day I wake up and I'm back to where I started. And I think, how did that happen? That's the part of the mystery for me of this program. I thought, how can I have all this knowledge and yet wake up and have put all that weight back on without even noticing it? What I discovered was I have all the knowledge, but I didn't have the people. I was isolating. I was in my disease. I wasn't at meetings. I wasn't with all of you. I had lost that conscious contact with my higher power. And so before I knew it, I was back into the food. It took me until 2005 to get back into the program again. I'd been gone about 12 years. I tried various times to get back into program, but I couldn't get back in. So 2005, I came back in and got a sponsor, started working the steps, but I could not get abstinent. I would have periods of abstinence. I would have 6 months. I would have almost a year, and I could not get abstinent. I would slip and slide all over the place. It was in April of 2007 that I finally was able to get the abstinence that I have today, and I'm just so grateful that for this abstinence that I have. And what changed was that I did a daily first three steps, steps one, two, and three, every single day. I started my day by reminding myself that I'm a compulsive overeater, my life is unmanageable, that a power greater than me can restore me to sanity, and that if I'm willing to let God into my life, if I'm willing to give him my day and my food, my most precious commodity, that he would take care of that for me. I also called a sponsor every day with my food. I worked the steps, and I did service. I did everything that everybody told me to do, and I just, it was kind of, okay, here, I'm just throwing it all to the wall, and we'll see what happens. In May of 2008, I had the opportunity to go to World Service as a delegate for our Peninsula Intergroup. I really was nervous about going. I had been a stay-at-home mom, and any kind of enterprise like that was, I felt, was way beyond my ability. I didn't think I would be able to do it. But it was an opportunity, and it was that little voice saying, okay, here's an opportunity for you. Take it. This is your next step. And that's what recovery has been for me. If I'm really tuned in to God and listening, and that opportunity comes up, and I take it, I take the bite of that apple, figuratively speaking, it always works out. It leads me to where I'm, my next step of where I'm supposed to go. So World Service was fabulous for me. I got there and I realized I could understand what they were talking about up at the podium. I understood the motions, and that amazed me because I just didn't think I was smart enough. But you know, when you're where you're supposed to be, everything falls into place. So that was a huge part of my recovery, and that was service. So I can't say enough about service. But what I want to talk about today and the message that I want to bring is that somewhere along the line, shortly after I had been to World Service, I started a big book study and really got into the steps, because the answer is in the steps. And along the way, I discovered Dr. Tebow. Dr. Tebow was Bill Wilson's psychiatrist. He had a few of them, and Dr. Tebow was one of them. He was a huge proponent of the 12-step program and talked to doctors and psychiatrists and really got a lot of support wrapped around the 12-step program so people would know where to send their alcoholics. And Dr. Tebow wrote an article on the act of surrender. He also wrote one specifically for the compulsive overeater. And he said that there were two qualities that are characteristic of our personalities as compulsive overeaters. One was defiant individuality. The other was grandiosity. Oh, my God. I could not handle it. I mean, I had to put it down because I thought, oh, no, that wasn't me. It was so painful, and yet a few days later, I went back to it again because, you know, when you hear the truth, there's something, a glimmer in there. I was drawn back to it. You know, it took me, it's only one page, the article, but it probably took me several months before I could actually read it through and really digest it and really get the meaning of what was said, because, believe me, I did not believe that I was defiant or grandiose. And yet, when I was willing to just say, okay, this is an opportunity, for some reason this is being put in my path, I need to keep looking at it. And I did. And eventually, I began to see that part of myself that I had never seen before. It really opened up my eyes. I just want to go on. I don't want to try to improvise what he said. I'm just going to read it. I know reading is kind of taboo, but just a couple of things. He spoke about defiance being an effective tool for overeaters to manage anxiety. He said, if you defy a fact and say it is not so, you can eat to the day of your death, forever denying that fate. I mean, whew, that's a tough one to hear. And that would exactly define me. The thing that he said about grandiosity was that it springs from the infantile ego. And I kind of define that as wanting what you want when you want it. I want it. I want that food. I need it. I can't go on without it. And it was very, very painful and yet very illuminating to hear those words. So he talks about surrender as the ability to accept reality, and that the tools of the program are designed to induce surrender so that defiance and grandiosity actually cease to function effectively. Oh, there's the hope. I mean, there is hope for me, and I can grow up. So I have grown up in this program. And when we come here and we share our experience, strength, and hope the way that we do, we can learn so much from each other. And I've heard it said in other programs that at whatever age we are when we start using a substance to numb ourselves, zone out from the world, is the point that we stop growing. And with our emotions and everything else. And so I have to look back, you know, I was probably 12, 13. And so I was a pretty immature person walking through life, thinking I was an adult and could handle life. And what I learned was I really was not handling life. I wasn't dealing with life on life's terms. And I kept choosing to live in that zone of being zoned out, just walking through life and not really experiencing the feelings and the emotions. So with surrender, I no longer fight life, but I accept it. And surrender for me has been the real starting point of my maturity. And I'm growing up a little bit more every day. I have a long way to go still. I know I'm not there yet. But I'm so much better than where I was. Facing the reality of that grandiosity and defiance, that was a huge step for me. Another thing that was really a big part for me was step three, making a decision. I find that every day I have choices, and every day I can make a decision to either work my program, pray and meditate, do my writing, do the things that I need to do. If I need to do service, work with somebody else, these are the things that help me in my program, and they're so valuable. But it's a choice. And I hear this word as I'm more willing to be mature in life. I hear it all the time. It's almost like a little mantra now that I hear on ads on TV and out in the world and people saying choice, decision. And I think, yes, I am deciding to be a part of life today. I am deciding to surrender today. I have to surrender my food and my life every single day, or I'll be back out there again. I know that from my experience. How are we doing on time? Really? Wow, I must talk fast. Five more? Oh, I like your time better. Okay. Surrender. Step three, really important. You know, it's not easy to let go. We're raised in a world that tells us that we need to be sufficient, we need to get out there, you know, go for what we want, plan, make set goals. We don't live in a society that tells us to sit back and rely on a higher power, unless we come from a real religious background. So it can almost be a dichotomy, you know, how do I know how to let go and let God, and how do I know how to take that step? And so I think that's where the prayer and meditation comes in, because I don't know. But when I'm willing to turn it over, when I'm really willing to listen to my higher power and just get still, and that little voice, you know, that says, turn right here, turn left here, and I defy it. I mean, I can see this in something as simple as planning my day, and the little voice says, okay, it's time to go do the laundry now. And I'll say, no, I'm going to go do this. And then something happens because I did that instead of going to do, you know, following the directions. It's that, it can be that minute for me as far as surrender and following directions. So I definitely, when I'm working my program, and I have to say I'm not 100% every single day. I do my best every day. And that's another thing that I think is really important to learn in this program is it's progress, not perfection. I don't do it perfectly. I don't surrender perfectly every day. I don't do my food plan perfectly every day. I don't do my prayer and meditation perfectly every day. I take a stab at it every day, and I do my best. Some days I'm wonderful, and some days I just get through my day. And that's life. That's grown up. That's facing life and saying, accepting it. Because when I lived in that mode of perfection, I could not get abstinent. I could not work a program because I kept, there was this ideal. And I knew all of you were doing it perfectly, but it wasn't going to happen for me. And I was able to let go of that perfection and say, okay, this is good for me today. And tomorrow I will do better. But I stopped beating myself up because that beating myself up is what I had done all my life. And that's what got me, you know, to 50 pounds over my natural weight of where I should be. So there are many aspects of surrender, many ways to look at it. And maybe I can just sum it up by saying, you know, make a decision. Make a decision today that I'm going to follow, do what I need to do, follow my plan, and then leave the results to God. I do the footwork. God does the, I show up, suit up. I love that title. And sometimes that's all I can do. I'll just say, I'm here, you know, and tell me what to do now because I don't know. And, you know, if I listen, the answer comes. And sometimes I don't get an answer, but I just keep going anyway. And as long as I keep those cupboard doors shut and my head out of the refrigerator, it can't help but get better. So I think that's all I have to say. I think my time probably is pretty much up. So I am going to introduce Arlene. Arlene is going to speak on the same subject. Thanks.
Well, hello. I'm Arlene, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not in charge, but we'll hope that God has something for me to say. I'm not a real wordy person, so I'll kind of start out telling you that I came into this program about 18 years ago really, truly desperate. I just didn't know where to go because, and I came for my weight, I'll tell you, I'll be very honest about that. I hated it. I hated the weight I was. I was somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 pounds. I don't know exactly. I do know I reached 195 and, you know, I had at one point said, well, okay, I'm just going to give up. You know, I'm a fat grandma. My grandkids love me. My husband loves me. He told me he didn't care if I never lost a pound. So I'm just going to accept me where I am. And it worked for a little while. But then I got pretty despondent about this whole weight issue. And I heard about OA through a book that I picked up that was not an OA book or anything, but it was mentioned in there, and I thought, maybe they can help me. So I started looking for an OA meeting. To my surprise, I found one real close to me. I lived in Seattle at that time, and I walked into a meeting, and I felt at home because those people talked about food like I talked about food. You know, I was the person that was in one of the popular weight loss groups and was doing fine, lost weight, and knew that I was going to be able to add this certain thing back in, you know, at a certain time. So, okay, The one I really liked was in season right then, so I bought a whole bunch of it, and I put it into little baggies, certain amounts, and put it in a big jar and put it down. We had the house we lived in had a cellar type thing that you had to go outside and go down. And I didn't like to go down there, so it'd be safe for me down there, right? It was for a month. But when I had a binge, let me tell you, it was really frustrating opening all those little bags. So that's how I came into program, really desperate. And it just happened to be a HOW program. I didn't know what HOW stood for. It's just a structured part of OA. And I was willing. I was willing. I just did what they told me. I got a sponsor that night, and I started in. And it worked for me. It really did. And I'm just grateful. I know that I was surrendered because I didn't know how to be anything else. I mean, when you're desperate, you're desperate. You know, you'll do anything. If you're out there in the ocean and you're drowning, why, you'll grab anything that'll help you. So that's what I did. Well, it's been a lot of years since then, and I don't live in Seattle anymore. I'm not near a HOW group. I am in OA, and I don't have my structured meetings anymore, but I sponsor kind of using the HOW way. I've changed my food plan. It doesn't matter. What matters is that I work the program, that I be surrendered. And how do I do that? Well, I don't particularly sometimes want to do my 10th step. You know what? I do it anyway. It's just some days it's just, I don't want to do that. Well, you better do it, because that's where recovery is, doing these things, even if my heart isn't in it some days. You know, some days I have periods. Now, I'm going to come home from this conference, and I've heard some of you speak, and I've been inspired, and I'm going to be pumped up. But it's not like that when you've been in for years and years and years sometimes. Sometimes you're not pumped up, and you don't. I don't want to pray that day. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But I know where recovery lies. It lies in surrendering and saying, okay, I'll do it. And so that's kind of how I do it. When I went through the steps, got to that fourth step, I didn't want to write that thing. But I started doing it. Took me quite a while, and I did it. And then I had to give it away. I didn't want to do that either. So how do you do it? You just say, okay, higher power, who should I give it away to? And I found somebody, and I gave it away. And it was... That was an interesting day because I had a bladder infection. But I gave it away. And then I went back, and she said, well, okay. She says, go back and read the big book and see what it says about after you give it away, reflecting on it, and were you thorough and all this stuff. So I did that. And I thought, oh. There's something still out there. So I wrote it down, and I called her, and I said, there's something else I need to tell you that I didn't tell you about. And she said, okay. So I told her. And I says, Now I know I need to make amends. I don't know how to get a hold of this person. I don't know what to do. And she said to me, she says, oh, you've suffered enough. And, you know, so I like the answer. I didn't have to do anything. I like that. But, you know, that kind of bothered me, kind of down there someplace through a lot of years. Well, about, I think it's been 4 years, maybe three, I decided to do a big book study with an AA group. And so I went through that process again. And I didn't address that issue. In fact, I was so surprised. I thought, well, I've done this already, and I've tried to do a 10-step every day. I'm not going to have much to write. Well, you know what? I ended up writing a lot. But this issue that my sponsor had said, you know, you've suffered enough, that I didn't write down. And when I did the fifth step part of it, I thought, well, I told her, I says, well, I don't have an awful lot, so I think an hour or two will do it. You know, I was there all afternoon for like about 5 hours. And this woman had such wonderful insight. And because I was willing to surrender and be honest with her, I felt quite a bit of peace. But I went back and I read the part in the big book again, all the stuff that it says go through. And this thing that had been kind of nagging at me came up again. And I went, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Well, fearless and thorough inventory, that's surrender. Better do it. So I called her up and said, I got another issue. Well, she says, let's talk about it when we get down to Yuma. She goes to Yuma, she lives in Yuma and comes up here and house sits and stuff in the summer. And I live up here and go down to Yuma for the winter. So she says, when you come down, why, let's do it then. So we got together. And I told her this whole story of this issue and what my first step sponsor had said. And she said, I agree with her. I said, you do? She says, yes, I do. She says, here's what you do. You write an amends to this person. And you lay that aside. And if you really, and I had done one thing before I saw her, as I had found out a way, I got an address of a person that he was related to by marriage, so I had a way to get in touch. I had gone that far in surrender. And I told her I had this information, and she said, well, okay. She says, well, you put that letter aside, and if you feel God's telling you to send it, she says, you go ahead and make your connection and do it. But she says, I don't think so. I have peace with this issue. I still got that letter there if God nudges me. But I have such peace. And it comes from surrender. And that surrender, that willingness comes from God. So I have to ask for God for the willingness to surrender and do these things. Because on my own, I'm powerless. I really am. I can't tell you how grateful I am that, first of all, this woman had a lot of insight, and God led me to her, and that it gave me the willingness. And I find that in everything I do, whether it's planning my food, whether it's writing that 10-step inventory. I also do some other writing that I send to a couple people. I usually read something and then write on it. I used to do this with Coming Through the How program. You do questions forever. I can't tell you how many questions I've done. But when I'm not doing questions, then I'll pick up one of the books and I'll start reading it paragraph by paragraph, and then I'll write on that and send that off. And that's another thing that I have to surrender on and be willing to do every day. And so this type of thing is surrender to me. That's what it means to me. That's what's worked for me. And I think that's all God has for me to say to you today. And I thank you for your attention. Okay. I think other people, if you'd come up and line up here, each person will have 3 minutes. Do we have someone timing here? Okay, someone will time you. You can watch her and see. And if you want to be anonymous, use another name. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Sheila, and I'm a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. I love the title of this, Surrender, Just Show Up and Grow Up, and Suit Up. How is it? Suit Up and Show Up, yeah. And the part that I wanted to talk a little bit about was the growing up piece, because I always thought I was so responsible and I did everything that I was supposed to do. And I found out as I got into program, the piece that my mom had always talked about was this stubbornness, which was the resistance, you know, the rebellion and not wanting to kind of surrender and let mom be in charge. And I kind of carried that throughout my life until I got into program. And I didn't know it was a defect. I thought, well, I'm just a, you know, I've got my own mind and my own ideas and everything. And of course, I kept getting slapped down, not only at home, but in school and, you know, various other places. And I don't know whether I really got surrender until I had this sponsor that always was referring me to the acceptance page, page 447 and now 417. And she would want me to read that page and then come and talk about what we were, what I was upset about. And so learning to go to that acceptance page helped break some of that strong rebellion that I had so I could actually surrender. And I never thought about it as surrender until, both people were talking. And I thought, and the same thing happened when I came into program and people told me what I was supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to have a sponsor. You're supposed to have a food plan. You're supposed to. And, of course, I was resistant initially with that. But I wanted so bad what I found in the rooms that I thought, well, I'll do with what I'm being told to do. And so little by little, that began to be broken down. It really took a long time. And I would say that initially, whenever something new hits me, I want to resist it. I want to push away from it. I don't want to do what I have to do. And so I have to kind of sit with it for a while, write about it, talk about it, read about it. I have to get myself in that position before I actually surrender. So I'm just really grateful that we're all here today, and we do have a way out of this disease. We'll always have it, but there is a solution that we can work a day at a time, a moment at a time. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Bob, a compulsive eater. Can you hear me? Great. I've been at a business meeting for a few days, and unfortunately, we don't get to talk much program in there. And this morning, I was at a men's meeting, and which is very interesting, you know, because some of us men hate women, and some of us love women. But then you knew that anyway, didn't you? You know, surrender for me is the start of it all. You know, I can be in misery. I can try all the homemade remedies, like resentment and anger, or I can try the remedy that really works, and that's surrender. And I paraphrase that from a pamphlet I got. It was a religious pamphlet that a woman in Al-Anon gave me. But it talked about surrender. And that phrase that they used in that pamphlet about, you know, trying all the home remedies, because that's what I tried, you know, my whole life. And they didn't work. The thing about surrender for me is that before surrender, I think of the things that could be my higher power's answer to my problems. But the problem is that I'm just a human being. I have no knowledge of what the real possibilities are. My vision is totally limited. And it's only when I surrender that my higher power makes available all of the other solutions that I had no idea that existed. I can't tell you how many times I've decided that if I surrender, then I may have to do this, this, and this. And then after I do, something else happens that worked out fine. You know, it's not always pleasant, but when I surrender, I try to think of the reason I don't want to surrender. That one thing that I just hate that might happen. Then I say, okay, I'll even accept that. And then when I'm able to accept that thing, then I can surrender. And the truth of it is that that may never come true, that thing that I hated the most. Anyway, it really works. There used to be this, I call him an old duffer in the program. And I was brand new, and he used to talk about surrender. And he'd talk about this guy who had fallen over a cliff, and he grabbed a branch on the cliff. And he's hanging there, yelling and yelling for somebody help me. And there's a voice down below. It says, let go. He says, let go. I'll die. He says, no, I can catch you. I can't even see you. How do I know? He says, and the voice says, just let go. And that's what we have to do. Thanks.
My name is Mary, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and it's good to see folks here. The place where I got really confused, and thank you for the speakers. I don't know where the other speaker is. But the place where I got really mixed up with surrender was that I thought that surrender was supposed to be this one-time event, that I would get surrendered, and then I would just float away on angel's wings for the rest of my history in the program. And what I have really learned, and this is just kind of through desperation and just, first of all, that the surrender came out of desperation. It came out of, you know, the fact that I just couldn't stop binging. And as much as I knew and as much as I thought I should know, and based on everything that I did know, I couldn't stop myself from overeating. And then where the surrender shifted for me was realizing that the surrender is an action. And it's not the big action. It's just getting up in the morning and getting to a meeting or reading a book. And I don't have to, you know, this was another thing, was that I thought I always had to want to do something, and that that was a sign that, you know, that I was better surrendered. And I imagine, you know, I've seen a lot of these different war movies, and nobody looked happy when they surrendered. Nobody. And I wasn't very happy when I first surrendered. And I'm still not that happy when I surrender sometimes. I mean, the obsession has been removed with the food, which is, you know, a gift from the God and result of working the program. But it's, you know, life is a series of just daily surrenders. And most of the times I don't want to surrender because I want to do it my way. And I go through this process of trying it my way, and then usually I'm down on my knees. It's like, okay, I'll surrender. And it's this incremental process. So that was a real eye-opener for me, because I kept waiting for the event, the peace, the serenity. When it doesn't, I had the order mixed up. And I still do some days, so thanks.
Hi, I'm Janisa, compulsive eater. And I really like the topic today. When I was growing up, I was an overweight kid, and my mom, in my own best interest, sent me to Tops and other weight loss groups and had me on a diet. And after I got like in my 20s, or I went to a counselor, and she pointed out, you know, weight is the one thing that she couldn't control in you. And it was like my way of saying, this is me and you can't stop me. It was also a good excuse. It was an addiction too, but there's more than one reason, I think, why we often overeat. But so surrender was kind of a hard thing for me. But there's another question that you get asked by counselors is, well, so how's this working for you? Well, when you can't walk around because your knees are hurting and et cetera, it's not working. And so surrender, and I don't have to surrender my weight to my mom anymore. But God can take away the addiction. God can replace it with serenity. So working the steps really helps me surrender. Thanks.
My watch is usually 5 minutes fast, and right now it says 10 minutes.
Okay, anybody else? 10:45. Okay, anybody? I have to start picking people? 10:45. Okay. Oh, okay, thanks. Okay, so 5 more minutes. Somebody's got a burning desire, don't they? No? Okay. You know, it was funny when Arlene started speaking. Of course, I picked up Lori speaking next door, and I was thinking on the schedule, he's speaking about the fourth step. And I just have to tell you, in my infantile thinking, when I was preparing for this speaking today, I looked at my competition, and I said, oh, the fourth step. I thought, oh, that's great. A lot of people be in the fourth step. They're hearing from Lori how to do their fourth step, so I'm going to have a small group. And so as I started, it was a small group, but, you know, the room filled up, and it's pretty full. And then I thought, what was I thinking? The fourth step. We avoid the fourth step. We don't go to the fourth step. We run from the fourth step. So I'm still not there. I'm still a kid in my head. But anyway, well, thank you all for coming. And I hope you enjoyed it and got something today from it. And enjoy the rest of the conference. Thanks.